يعطي حياتي قرآن.
You are listening to season 10 episode
25. ساعدني يا رحمن
يا رحمن
اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear sisters in Islam. I'm happy to meet you all once again through another We Here and We Obey Ladies Only Halaqa podcast on another Wednesday, Alhamdulillah. I hope you all are in good health and an increasing state of Iman bi-ithnillah. Today's hadith, hadith number 24 that we are planning to discuss, in fact, a story that happened during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sisters. Let me narrate the story to you, inshallah. Some of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to him. In fact, they were poor Sahaba sisters, and they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, the people of wealth among us, the people who are rich and wealthy, who possessed enough money, they have taken all the highest ranks and blessed places. Upon hearing this statement, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, How is that? These poor Sahaba said, Well, these rich amongst us pray like we pray. They fast like we fast. And in addition, they give charity with their excess wealth. But as for us, we do not pay charity as we are poor. This way, they gain more reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, Has not Allah made things for you to do in charity? Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Verily, every tasbih is charity, every takbirah is charity, every tahmida is charity, every tahleela is charity, doing good is charity, forbidding evil is charity, and you having intimate relationship with your wife is a charity. Subhanallah. The Sahabas were astonished by the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They said, O Ya Rasulullah, when one of us fulfills his desire by having intimacy with his wife, he will have a reward for that? He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Tell me, if he were to fulfill his desire unlawfully, meaning zina, would he bear that sin? They said, Yes. Similarly, if he fulfills it lawfully, he will have a reward. Allahu Akbar. Generally speaking, sisters, this hadith is important because it indicates the different types of charity that exist and shows that there are various and many types of good deeds available to every single Muslim. It also shows that the good deeds are not simply the ritual acts of worships that are performed by all of the people. Instead, there are numerous good deeds that are available to the one who seeks them. Subhanallah, unlike us, these Sahabas, even though they were poor in wealth, that did not stop from running behind the Jannah. They were trying to exploit all the avenues that they can have within their capacity. They went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam because of the sadness that they had in their heart. Now, after listening to this hadith, many of you may think that these poor Sahabas had jealousy towards those who were wealthy. Before talk about that, let me tell you what jealousy is, sisters. We all know that we as human beings all have this character called jealousy. Our jealousy, subhanallah, is most of the time comes because we compare ourselves with those who have more than us in material possession. Because of this jealousy, we wish that the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to others should not exist, or it should be taken away. We wish that we are more deserving to have that blessing than others. Also, we wish that their blessings should become a test or curse for them. Subhanallah, this kind of mentality is harmful not only to the one who envies, but also to the one who is the victim. Subhanallah. Now let's talk about the Sahaba sisters. Did they have jealousy towards the rich and the wealthy? Well, the poor companions, poor Sahabas did not display any jealousy towards those who are wealthy with respect to this world, sisters. Please pay attention. They did not complain that the rich companions had nicer clothing, nicer camels or nicer housing. That was not their concern. Their concern was only that the richer companions, due to their excess wealth, were able to perform many deeds that they were not able to perform. They heard the verses of the Quran and they knew the great importance of giving charity for the sake of Allah. This is what made them sad. They feared that they were possibly not able to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as the richer companions were able to do. It's basically, sisters, they were competing for Jannah. Allahu Akbar. They were concerned more about Akhirah, not about Dunya, sisters. We all know that Islam contempt jealousy. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Beware of envy, because envy consumes the virtues just as the fire consumes the firewood." Subhanallah. At the same time, Quran and Sunnah have spoken about those who run behind the dunya, run behind the material world. Islam always encourages people to focus more on Akhirah, sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Nay, you prefer the life of this world, although the hereafter is better and more lasting." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "By Allah, it is not poverty that I fear for you, but I fear that the world will be spread out before you as it was for the people before you. Then you shall compete in it as the people before you competed in it, and it shall destroy you as it destroyed them." Subhanallah. Now let's talk about the charitable acts that are mentioned in this hadith, sisters. We discussed in our previous podcasts that the parable of those who do dhikr, that is remembrance of Allah, and those are not, are like living and dead. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this very hadith, he said, "Verily every tasbiha is a charity." Tasbih means saying Subhanallah. Every takbira is charity. It's by saying Allahu Akbar, sisters. Every tahmida is charity, saying Alhamdulillah. Every tahleela is charity. That's by saying La ilaha illallah. Doing good is charity. Forbidding evil is charity. And you having intimate relationship with your wife is charity. We have spoken about Dhikrullah in many podcasts. I urge you to please go through the podcast again, sisters. With regards to Dhikr, there are few key points that we should keep in our minds. First and foremost is that Dhikr, it's an ibadah. We have discussed that every act of worship should be done according to the Quran and Sunnah. And also we discussed all newly invented matters are bid'ah. We see in our society, in the name of dhikr, in the name of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people gathered in circles and chant one or more names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in unison. This is not allowed in Islam, sisters. We can't find this kind of dhikr from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam or the Sahabas. In fact, the Sahaba strongly disagreed on doing dhikr like this. There are many incidents, but due to the time constraint, let me tell you only one story. This story is related to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu once heard that some people have gathered in the masjid and sitting in circles and doing dhikr. So he went to them and asked them, "What are you doing?" They said, "Oh Abdurrahman, these are nothing but small stones with which we are counting, saying Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah and Subhanallah." Basically, these people were gathered together and counting the stones and making dhikr. Upon hearing that, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, "Count your sins. I guarantee that you will not lose anything of your good deeds. Beware, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how quick you are to your destruction." Subhanallah, sisters. He was so upset and he strongly condemned the act. So when we do dhikr, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to follow the Quran and Sunnah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to do dhikr. So let's think about how dhikr becomes charity. Now the scholars have many explanations. So in this podcast, we chose to give you this explanation, sisters. First of all, a person has a responsibility towards his own soul. He must behave properly towards it and do what is best for it. One of the best things he can do is to perform dhikr, or words of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing so, he is performing an act of charity toward his own soul. The second way of earning reward is through doing good and forbidding evil. It's charity, sisters. As we all know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us, nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the best of nations because we enjoin good and forbid evil. Charity is not only about spending money and wealth. At that time, the poor companions thought that the only form of charity was to give money to others. However, that is not the Islamic concept of charity. Charity implies doing good to others or even to oneself. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu ma'rufin sadaqa." Every act of goodness is an act of charity. Do good while people are alive, sisters. Even a good word is charity. Smiling at your brother's face is charity. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Why don't we try to develop these habits in our daily lives? We don't need to show it off on social media how nice and how good we are to our families and friends. Rather, let's make it a habit to appreciate every small deed that our husbands and wives do. Let's appreciate them. Let's say thank you to them. Let's make dua for them. Let's appreciate the deeds and works of our parents, our children, our friends, our family members, and our neighbors. Let's appreciate them, sisters. It's a charity. Sometimes wealth is a serious test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, "Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati al-dunya wal-baqiyatu al-salihat khayrun inda rabbika thawaban wa khayrun amala." Wealth and children are the adornment of the life of this world, but the good righteous deeds that last are better with your Lord for rewards and better in respect of hope. Very interesting point about charity is, subhanAllah, forbidding evil. Forbidding evil is charity. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what he should do if he does not have the ability to perform some of the good deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied him saying, "Keep your evil away from the people, and that will be a charitable act from yourself upon yourself." Subhanallah. Now let's move on to the next one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, having relationship with your spouse is charity. The scholars say, a person will be rewarded if he had intercourse with his wife with the intention of keeping himself and his wife free of illegal sexual acts. Subhanallah, look at the deen of Al-Islam, which says that fulfilling one's desires through the halal means is charity. Subhanallah, we are living in a world which is sexualized in all possible means and ways. It has no age limit, no restriction of place, not at all, sisters. Subhanallah, there are agendas to install this human need as a power for political benefits. Even cartoons are made with explicit content. As women and mothers who nurture our children, we must be vigilant, sisters, in a world where illegal relationships are encouraged even in schools. We need to install respect for husband and wife relationship in an Islamic way in our children, sisters. We must lower our gaze and protect ourselves. Last but not least, nothing matters. Nothing will be rewarded when the due intention is corrupt. As we have already discussed in our previous podcast, every act we do necessitates intention, sisters. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. We stress this point time and again so that we all can have proper intention before we do any good deed. With that nasiha, I'm winding up today's podcast. Inshallah, I'm hoping to meet you all next Wednesday. Until then, stay tuned with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.